and everyone out here tonight. So it's great to have everyone here. It's been another beautiful Lord's Day that He's given us, and in every respect, we've had some beautiful weather all along, but the Lord's Day is always a special day, and we're also blessed to be able to be here and to hear His Word and sing songs of praise unto our Lord. Tonight, the title of my sermon is What the Bible Says About Satan. I know as I dig into scriptures or read through, I didn't realize a lot of the things that it says about him and the things that it calls him that it does. But we'll start in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. It says, And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue, Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue had his name Apollyon. So here's three things they said here. There's a king over him, but he's called the angel of the bottomless pit. He's also called in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon and in the Greek tongue Apollyon. I know when I was growing up as a kid, I heard people call the devil Apollyon, and I didn't know what they were saying or where it even came from, as a matter of fact. I think my grandma used to call the devil, she'd say that, Apollyon, Abaddon, or, you know, and she'd get it from the scriptures, but it's very interesting to see how it is. Revelations chapter 12, verse 10, says, And I heard a voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. So here he is, the accuser of the brethren. I think about Job usually when I think about this. You know how Job was there, come together with the sons of God, you know, and he asked that he be able to test Job, you know, and God's response to him like there was no other here, you know. No one likened to him. You know, he was saying there wasn't anybody good, I think. But, you know, I think about this in terms of how it really is with God, too. And it may not be just exactly like that, but I think of it in my mind as Jesus is there pleading our cause with God and for us in between our high priest, the one interceding for us, and the devil. He seems to be around too, don't he? He's saying, oh, Darrell, he ain't no count for nothing. You know, look at all the things he does wrong or look how he falls short of your glory. And Lord, if you just give me a little bit of leeway here, I can make him do some more things, you know. And that's the way he is, I believe. That's the picture that I get in my mind. He is the accuser of the brethren. He's always, you know, and he likes to work in our minds too. And, you know, that's where the battlefield is too with the devil. You know, one reason I like to do this sermon is because I think we need to know who our adversary is. If you think he don't know who you are, and if you think he don't know the scriptures, he's even quoting that to our Lord, wasn't he? Wasn't he quoting scriptures to the Lord? You know, the only way to defeat your enemy is to know who your enemy is and what he is. And this sermon here, it brings to light a lot of things that he is. He's the accuser of the brethren here. He's cast down, though, but he accuses them before God day and night. So I guess that's where I have that picture in my mind. But I always think about it like that. He's there pleading our cause, our Lord and Savior Jesus is. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he's called the adversary. It says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, that's a perfect picture of how the devil is. He's not ever at rest. He knows he has but a short time, and that he knows that his fate is sealed, but yours is not yet. And he's going to do everything. You know, you heard that old saying, misery likes company. Well, the devil likes company too, you know. He knows he's settled and he's going down and his fate is sealed and he wants to take you down there with him too. And he's doing everything he can. He's just like this old lion walking about. He's looking for someone he can devour. And I tell you what, he can't think of a better way to make his day if he can catch some Christian unaware and he can take them down. Because he, you never know the impact that we're going to have in bringing people to the Lord. I mean, just think about this. What if it had got Paul? What if it had took Paul out before he ever accomplished the things he did for God? And that's just one example. So you never know the impact that you might have. It may not seem, and you may not even get to see it yourself. God never promised that you would. He just told us we need to be sowing the seed. He'll bring about the works. He's the one who gives us the increase. But remember always this picture of how the devil is. And he's our adversary. He's the one who is looking for an opportunity. That old lion, he gets a lot of prey, you know. I watched this movie one time, and it was about these two lions, and they was killing people. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. The Ghost in the Darkness, I think is what it is. I'm not promoting a movie, but boy, they were very vigilant. They worked as a pair and as a team, and I'm talking about they took people out. And that makes me realize how my adversary is too. That's exactly how they are. And they're out to take our souls and everyone they can. And we see it all around. We can look in our communities. We can look in at brothers and sisters and people who've fallen that the devil's took to be his prey. So we need to always be sober and vigilant. Because that is how the devil is. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, he's called Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They had attributed the powers of Christ to the devil here. This is where the term they talk about, the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. We'll turn there and just let me read this just so I won't mess this up. Matthew 12 and verse 24 there. I like to do that. Sometimes I can quote it, but sometimes I misparaphrase, and I'd rather just read it from it. It takes a little longer, but that makes sure that I don't mess it up anyhow. Verse 24, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow doth cast out devils, but by the Beelzebub, the prince of devils.'" So here's how he is termed. They attributed these powers here, which was not the powers of God. They actually were attributed to the devil. Give him credit. You don't see that very often, do you? The devil getting credit for good things that God does. Boy, he likes to take credit for the good things God does. We need to make sure we always give credit. But remember, he's the prince of the devils here. His name is Beelzebub. He's also in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. He's called Belial. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Righteousness with righteousness, light with darkness, Christ with Belial." You know, if we think about it as Christians, we cannot be bound together with people who are not equally yoked. And we need to think about this with our children and with our families and with our relationships as well. You know, darkness and light don't have fellowship together. Christ and Belial don't hear. Righteousness and unrighteousness don't. We don't have anything in common. So we need to make sure the relationships we entered into, business sometimes, with our children, if they're Christians, they can't be married to someone who's not. We can't let this happen. We need to stand up and make sure. This scripture plainly says it can't happen. You can't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so we need to make sure that that don't happen. And it takes a diligent work, but that is what we're supposed to accomplish as Christians. In Matthew chapter 4, he's just called the devil. It says, "Christ was led up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." This is where I was talking about a while ago, a little bit later in there, how he's quoting scripture unto Christ, right? And so the devil knows the Word of God. Don't think he don't. And you know what? If you don't know the Word of God good yourself, you know what? He'll lead you in an airy way. He'll have you enough truth in there so he's saying, "That sounds right." And then he'll mix in some lie with it, and you won't know if it's true or not. But when you know what the truth is, there ain't nothing he can do with that, is there? You can say, "Well, wait a minute. All that other sounded real good, but there's that last part you put in there. That ain't what the Bible says. That's not right." And the only way we can is like it says there in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we need to do, ain't it? If we do that, we can't be led astray. We can't be told liar, or when someone tells us a lie, worker of the devil, or whoever it may be. It may be somebody that just not doing it in a deceitful way that's just wrong. Well, we'll know what the truth is, and so we won't be led astray by that. We'll be able to set it straight, and that's the only way that we can. Matthew chapter 13 and 39, the devil is termed the enemy, the sower of the tares and the children of the wicked one. Is what it terms are. So he definitely is. In 1 Samuel 6, 14 and 23, an evil spirit troubled Saul, is what it says there in those passages in 1 Samuel chapter 16, or 14 there in verse 23. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, he's the father of lies. How about that? You know, I remember when Jesus talked with the Pharisees sometimes, he told them, and they said, "Oh yeah, we're of our father." Yeah, and he said, "Yeah, you are. You sure are. You're of your father, the devil." You know, Because you don't accept Him as being the Christ, and you claim that you got God, but you don't have God because you don't have me. He said, and if you truly knew God, you'd know who I am too. Because the Scriptures tell of me and who I am and what I am. And so, yeah, He's where it all began, right there in the Garden of Eden, ain't He? He's the father of it. And I tell you what, the people who live their lives this way and tell lies themselves, that's who they've lending themselves to be, instruments to be used of. But yeah, He is a liar. You know, and that's the different thing too with us is, and we need to always consider that. We as Christians, we're trying to do right and we're trying to be honest. We expect other people to be honest too, don't we? That's how come sometimes that we're easily deceived, because the devil lied to us and we take it to be the truth. We expect that because we live our lives that way. We expect everybody else to tell the truth too and do right. Don't we? We don't even think that way. Don't be deceived. The devil will do anything he can. He'll say anything he can. His workers will, to get you to stumble and fall and lose your soul. That's the way he works. That's what he's about. That's his main purpose. In Revelation chapter 12 and verses 3, a great red dragon, it says, the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan. So he's the great red dragon. He's a dragon. They call him the old serpent. We know about the old serpent, don't we? We know how that old serpent was in the beginning, don't we? The devil, Satan, that's who he is. He's not a good person. He's not a good thing. It amazes me how people who you know, they live in their life for the devil, and you be talking to them about it, and they think one day, you know, I guess they're going to find favor in the sight of the devil, huh? And it's going to be one big party down there in hell, and everything's going to be good and rosy and lovely. Well, that's a lie from the devil, too. You know what? There ain't going to be no good party going on down there for all these people that believe that. There's going to be some torment going on down there. They're going to be like that rich man was, for I am tormented in these flames. It ain't going to be no good. They ain't going to get no special treatment. They're going to get the same treatment that the devil's going to get by being servants of his. So don't be led astray and believe no lies. Because there's plenty out there. In our society today, the way things are brought across, even in the media and even in the commercials and just all kinds, glamorizing all kind of evil and awful things and telling you how good this is and how good that is. Well, I tell you what, there ain't no sin that's worth losing your soul over, okay? And I can't tell you that you don't have pleasure in it, because the Bible says that sin is pleasure for a season. That means for a little while you might enjoy it, but is it worth trading your soul for? That's the question I ask you here tonight. No, it sure ain't, because I did it. And it ain't. And I paid them consequences, and I still am sometimes, for what I've done in the past. You know what? I'm not adding nothing else to it, though, that I can help, right? I'm making myself to go about. And I tell you what, it's a whole lot better, and it's a whole lot easier life to just go with the Lord and everything. On the way over, me and Daddy was talking about it, and how he was talking about it seems like some people prosper when they do wrong. But I said, you know what? Anytime I ever done people wrong, if I took something that didn't belong to me or did somebody wrong, I paid a whole lot more for that, and it never was any good to me than when I just do right and be honest, and I might not even get whatever I need or want or like or whatever, but I got that good clear conscience when I lay down to sleep at night, and I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Now, you can't tell me that sin's the way to go then, and living for the devil's the way to go, because it ain't. I've tried them both. And living a good Christian life and not going down them roads and not having to pay all those consequences is the way to go. You know, your soul depends upon it. And you get, God wants it that you have a good life here, that you be blessed. He wants things to go well with you. He loves you. You know, just like you love your children, your grandchildren, and all the people that you care about. You want everything, and you do everything you can to see that things go well with them. A lot of things we're not in control of, but the Lord is. And He wants that same thing for us too. See? And even more so, and He's able to deliver those things is a good thing about it. You can be so truly blessed. And I know I am. I'm blessed more than anyone deserves to be in every respect. Because I have my Lord number one, the most important thing ever. And even in this life, way blessed beyond my imaginations here. And you don't have to be a rich physical person to have all the greatest blessings there really is. If you got a family that loves you, that cares about you, and friends, and most of us, we've really got it made anyways, the truth of the matter. And all those good gifts and blessings, they come from God. Let's move on. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, the power of darkness is what it's called. John chapter 12 and verse 31, the prince of the world is what he's called. In Ephesians 2 and 2, he's called the prince and power of the air. There's a lot of terms that he definitely is. He wouldn't be called the prince of this world if he wasn't. Let me tell you, the devil owns this place here for the most part. He does. That's the facts. God's given it over to him, and he has. But that don't mean that he has power over God. He had to ask for permission of Job, didn't he? He couldn't do nothing to Job, and then when God said, well, you can do whatever you want to, except you can't take his life. See, the devil didn't even have power to kill him unless God granted it, and he wouldn't. He didn't, did he? Allowed him to do all kinds of other things to him. But he came through with flying colors, didn't he? In the end, he had what? Twice of everything, more than he had before, right? And you say, well, he lost his kids. Well, he had that many more again, didn't he? So he even had twice of them. If they went to heaven, he didn't lose them, did he? He's going to get to see them and be there with them one day. Ain't that right? That's our hope and glory. And it transcends and passes through way everything in this world. We cling for things in this life that we can't even attain, and God just wants us to have them. He blesses them and gives them freely to us if we'll do the things He said. So, we need to be about doing God's will. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it talks about rulers of darkness of this world. In Ephesians 2 and 2, it says, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's all kinds of things. Yeah, this is spiritual warfare going on for sure. Lots of times it seems physical. If you look at the way that the attitude that people have toward Christians, not in other countries, and even more so in this country. You know, you get to talking about Jesus, and boy, you offend people. You make people mad. I promise you, you can pray in any name you want to except Jesus' name, and nobody won't say a word. You won't be banished or run off or not let do it no more, but you pray in the name of Jesus, and you just go offending people. You know, I tell you what, it offends me when people ain't allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. That offends me. This country was founded on Christianity, not Muslim or Buddha or nobody else. It's different. This country ain't like all the other heathen countries. See? God blessed us with this spiritual heritage. We as Christians need to speak out boldly. And it don't matter what people say about us or do to us for speaking out in that right way. We need to be more adamant about it. Amen. Certainly do. Christians are done wrong every day, I guarantee you. And it goes unheard. And we stand idly by. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, he's called the tempter. We certainly know that he is, don't we? He tempts everyone. He tempts us every day. I read a little thing the other day, and I may mess it up, what it all said. But the gist of it was, sometimes good things come by, and that opportunity always just comes by once. And then you see it's gone. But the devil and the way he works and him tempting you, know how many times that's going to happen? Every day and all the time. I mean, how many times does that come by? You know, look at your chance of error here then. The good things come by sometimes, and it's just once, and sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get it. Sometimes we miss it, and then it ain't there no more. But you look at how many times the devil's going to knock on your door and try to get you to do wrong and be this tempter that it's talking about here. Man, he's going to do it till he's out of here, ain't he? Till this world's over, ain't he? He ain't going to stop neither. We need to have that same about us as working for the Lord the same way we do. Because, you know, the time is short, too, for us to bring people to the Lord before it's too late. It's said and done and all over. And we don't know when that's going to be. We need to have that same amount of intensity working for the Lord and helping to bring people to the Lord as the devil does about taking people away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he's called the God of this world. He hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The God of this world. Well, he certainly is one in this world, no doubt. He may be a false God because people worship him just like he is that. But lots of times that happens too, is people's minds are blinded. They might believe and they might see this light of the gospel of Christ and they might come unto him and be saved. A lot of people don't want it. You know, Jesus said that when he talked in parables, it was so that the ones that understand would understand, the ones who wouldn't, they wouldn't get it, right? That's why he told them that he did. They asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he told them, that's why. And it's the same way today. We won't get everybody, but you know what? We need to get all of them we can. We need to touch every life we can. We need to touch every soul we can for the goodment and the growth and the betterment of the kingdom, because souls are going to be in heaven because of it. Or either souls are going to be in hell because you didn't. And that's a sobering thought, ain't it? That's a serious matter. It's serious. It's more serious matter than anything we come in contact every day.
We think it's serious that we keep our jobs so we can feed our family, and it is. But it don't come in comparison nowhere to people's souls being in hell or in heaven because of the way we live our life, though, does it? We need to think about it. It's an important thing. In Matthew chapter 12, and verse 43, unclean spirit. In Matthew 13 and 19, the wicked one. In Revelations 2 and 9, it's the synagogue of Satan is what it is. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, and 15, it says, appearing as an angel of light, he's transformed. The devil even being transformed into an angel of light. Well, now think about that. How many times you seen things come to you and it just didn't seem right? You know, looked like maybe it was, but it wasn't really, right? It's the devil will go to even these lengths to deceive people. That he is appearing as an angel of light. He's transformed into an angel of light. He might seem, how many people you see today that goes around like that they're like that? And the truth of the matter is they're not really like that at all. They're really workers of the devil. They're really destroying the kingdom. They're tearing down the kingdom. Sadly, I'll say it is too, is sometimes people's like that in the church. They go around with this big air like they're all this good person doing all these good things and everything deep down inside. They're really not, because the works show that it's all about them. And they're really working toward destroying the church. They're enemies of the cross. If we don't have love in our hearts and doing right and working toward building up the kingdom in every respect, then we might be like that too in a sense. We're being a hypocrite at the least then, aren't we? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it talks a little bit about him there. He said that he was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. Verse 4, it says, he said, ye shall not surely die. Well, he told a lie. He contradicted what God had said. In the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. And he said, well, you won't surely die. You're not going to die if you eat that. It looks good, don't it? Try it and see if it don't taste good. Oh, yeah, it tastes good. It looks good, too. But they died, didn't they? They started dying that day physically, didn't they? And spiritually, they did die. They were separated from God, so they died that day. You can believe the lies of the devil if you want to and be led astray and be deceived. But the truth of the matter is, I'm going with God. I'm going to go with what He said. And anything that lifts up its mind and heart and says, contrary to what God's word is a lie. And that's exactly how the devil works today. Look in our societies. You know, God says, one man, one woman forever. This is a vow to him. Let God not put us, or man not put us under that thing. Well, the world says, well, it's okay just to shack up with her. It's okay to live with her. It's okay to do things that's not pleasing. It's okay to have sex out of marriage. Well, it's a lie. Look how our society's degraded down. You got children without fathers. You got STDs going around. You've got the family, the basic unit, broken up. Sadly to say, when God says, here's how it should be. Just do what God says. Just be pleasing to Him. Don't disobey. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Men with men and women with women, it's described there in Romans chapter 1, ain't it? Today they say it's just an alternate lifestyle. No, it's not. It's an abomination to God's what it is. Amen. God's not pleased with it, and I have no hate in my heart for them, but I hate the sin they're committing. And it's wrong. It's wrong for our children to see that, oh, that it's okay, two men with two men and two women together. And that's all right. No, it ain't all right, because God said it's an abomination. It's not just an ordinary sin. It's things that God hates. And you see it promoted in our society. You see them on TV. They make them out to be good people, nice people, help people, do all kinds of good things. I tell you, that's the deceivers right there. Christians don't go about tooting their horn. They don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. They go about doing what's right for God. And He's the one that matters with. It don't matter about nobody else. Amen. It don't matter if you think I'm a good person or not. As long as I know that God knows my heart and I'm doing the best I can within my heart. And I'm going to stand before Him and be judged. Amen. And you're not going to judge me. Nobody else is going to judge me. The people that might not like me because I stand for truth and righteousness, they ain't going to have no say in it either. I'm going to stand before my Lord, His servant, and be judged by Him. And give them account. And I will one day. And we all will is the thing. It says, in verse 10 of that said, and I heard the voice and was afraid because I was naked. And the serpent, verse 13, the excuse was made, the serpent beguiled me, blaming someone else.
That's typically the way that it goes. We're trying to put the blame on somebody else. You know what we should be focusing on? Yeah, I did wrong. Please, Lord, forgive me and fix the situation. Go on. You know, that's the first thing we do. We look for somebody else to blame. She said, the serpent beguiled me, and Satan said, the woman that you give me, she give it to me. Everybody's passing off the blame. The difference in them and David was, what did he say when he found out it was him? Nathan the prophet told him, forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. Just forgive me, Lord. Yeah, I messed up. I take the blame. I take the responsibility. Please forgive me. What can I do to fix this situation and make it right? That's the way my heart's got to be. That's what's going to matter. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Satan entered into him. People say, oh, you know, they definitely had been possessed by the devil back there, no doubt. Because we know that they had the power to cast out demons and devils. And I got my doubts about it today. But I seen some people who act like the devil. Ain't you? They look act just like him. Do they not? Got to make me wonder, right? I know that God deals with things differently in this day and time. But I seen some people that can do a real good imitation of him. That's all I'm saying. Not meaning to be ugly either. Just being honest. That's what we need to be, honest and sincere about it. But it says here how he entered into Judas Iscariot. In John chapter 13, verse 2, it said, and the devil now put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Acts chapter 5, and verses 1 through 10. Let's turn there and just read that. You know the story, well, I'm sure that you do. It's about Ananias and Sapphira, but we'll read that because it's a good set of passages there. Acts 5 and 1 through 10. It says there is a certain named Ananias, and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart, that thou hast lied unto men? Not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came up all of them that heard these things. Wow. Well, I guess his answer might have been, well, I wanted everybody to think I was as good as everybody else in selling this land and giving all of it to you, Lord. I guess that might have been what his answer was, because that's what it was. And he even asked him, was it not yours before you sold it? After you sold it and you had the money, was it not yours? Why did you conceive in this thing in your heart to make yourself look good and lie to the Holy Spirit? Well, we all know what happened to him, right? Yeah, he fell down and gave up the ghost. And the same thing happened to his wife. And his wife even had occasion. They even asked her up front, you know, giving her a chance to say, well, yeah, that happened. I'm sorry, but, you know, she went right along with it. She said, he told him, the men that told out your husband's waiting right there at the door to get you. And that's how serious a thing it is when we lie to God. You know, for whatever reason it may be. Yeah, we like the glory of men, and we like for people to think we're good and all, but the truth of the matter is, for the most part, we ain't. Unless we're doing the things God wants us to, we ain't. There's no good in us. That's the truth. I mean, really. But if we are doing the things of God, yeah, it helps us along the way, for sure, no doubt. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God just so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put that armor on so you'll be prepared so that the devil can't take you down. Be ready. Put that whole armor on. It describes it there in those passages what you need to put on so that you'll be prepared. And it'll quench all the fiery darts in those passages there too. All of them, they'll be put out. The devil can't get you. The devil can't take you down because the Lord is protecting you. In James chapter 4, and starting in verse 7 through 10, it says, Submit therefore yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We can overcome the devil. We don't have to be beat down and downcast and just barely making it. You know why? Because the Lord gave it power where we didn't have to be. We could overcome. Yet we have to submit ourselves, and we have to
We have to bear our own cross, deny what ourselves wants, tell ourselves, no, I'm not going to do what you want, our flesh, and do the things that God has said for us to do. Yeah, it's going to cause us to put ourselves out a little bit. It might cause us to put ourselves out a whole lot. But that's what the Lord requires of us. I think He put Himself out a whole lot, don't you? Him dying on a cross and being beaten like He was, scourged and spit upon and mocked, and that crown of thorns on His head and them beating Him with the reeds. I think He went through a whole lot, don't you, for me and you and everybody else. I ought to be willing to put myself out some for Him. I ought to be willing to put myself out a whole lot for Him, as a matter of fact.
Amen.
I would have no hope. It would be all about this life, and I'd be, you know, like Paul said, I'd be above all men most miserable. You know, if my hope is only in this life right here. But my hope is in that world to come. You know, we talked about there in John chapter 14, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to a prayer place for you, that where I am there you may be also. And that's what I'm looking for. That's my hope. And we got to live our lives down here like that is our hope, so we can get to that hope.
Amen.
And it won't be hope no more. It'll be reality then. This is my message for tonight. I thought it might help you in realizing who the devil is and what the devil is and how things happen there. And anyone here subject to the invitation, come as we sing the song with Ben Slater.